I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Jonathan Yates. He's the conductor of the Norwalk Symphony Orchestra and the Norwalk Youth Orchestra. You've put together such an incredible program for March 18th. And Jonathan, it's really going to be fun to have a chance to talk with you about it.
Kate, I always love chatting with you.
What you've done, which I really think is so cool, is you've taken a kind of a cross-section of music that really represents this country, from Dvorak's New World Symphony, moving through some really edgy and very modern-sounding music by Charles Ives, The Unanswered Question, and then Aaron Copland's Lincoln Portrait, and James Naughton is going to be the narrator for that. So how did you decide that these three pieces were such a great representation of American music?
It started with New World Symphony, just because, believe it or not, New World is a symphony I've never conducted.
Really?
I know. I don't know how. I've missed it up until this point. And when we were thinking about, you know, what would be a great concert of about America, not just about American music, but about American society, American life, you know, immediately you think about New World Symphony, because somehow it really encapsulates this whole idea of America, particularly because, you know, it's the most famous work ever written on American soil, and yet it's written by a Czech composer.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that's so the spirit of this country, the fact that somebody from another place can come in and just totally capture the embodiment of what America is all about. And so, yeah, starting from there, we just sort of said, well, but then we got to get to actual American composers as well. And I think, you know, Copland and Ives are such an interesting dichotomy.
Yeah.
Such an interesting dichotomy, because Copland captures this idea of Americana. Mm-hmm. You know, it's these big, wide open spaces that he captures. And it's music that also is very sort of commercially viable. You know, it's, we all know it. You know, we've all heard Fanfare for the Common Man. We've all heard Rodeo, you know, it's in our ears, Appalachian Spring, because he makes a very conscious choice, right, to create music that is actually tonal, accessible, and sounds to him what America sounds like. And Ives is really the polar opposite.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ives is, you know, he's something of a visionary and sort of crotchety both in his life and his music.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get a work like The Unanswered Question, and here's a guy who, you know, he had no success. You know, he lived as an insurance salesman.
And a good thing he had a day job.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Because he couldn't, because his music is totally and utterly, it represents this other side of America, you know, this totally rugged conception of the country, you know, where when he takes folk music, and all of these three pieces incorporate folk music in their own ways, and when he takes folk music, it's done in this often sort of bracing kind of fashion, you know, where it's just, you really, he plays with it, he messes around with it, and yet somehow you really get the sense of this essence, this kind of hard scrabble, you know, approach to life. And I'm a huge Ives fan. And Unanswered Question is one of my favorite works. And it's, again, you know, he was just, he was such an experimenter. Mm-hmm. You know, he just tried so many different things. So for Unanswered Question, you have three different ensembles playing both with and against each other. So first you have this incredibly placid string chorale representing the silence of the Druids, yeah? And then at the same time, you have, and it's notated that it should be in a different place entirely, this solo trumpet asking the unanswered question, which represents the perennial question of existence.
Wow, yeah, heavy stuff.
That's right, it is heavy stuff. And then these poor four flutes who try to answer, and they represent the fighting answerers, and they get more frustrated with each answer, so that it just, by the end of it, they are literally screeching. And the entire time, you have this just incredibly beautiful, placid sound of the strings against it. And it's this iconic work, but you can see why it's totally not commercially viable.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff, you know?
And the it's 110 years old.
That's right.
And it sounds so modern.
That's right.
He did stuff people didn't do until 50 or 60
That's
years
exactly
later.
Exactly right.
I think if he had known about electronic music, he would have really gone to town.
Oh, absolutely.
With loops and all kinds of things.
Of course. Well, that's just it. He's, I mean, he would try anything, you know, and tried everything. And the thing is, I mean, I think in a lot of ways he still doesn't get his due. Mahler actually famously was, I think, at a publishing house on his way out of the country and spotted a score of Ives and went, oh, that fascinates me, and took it with him on his way back to Europe because he saw, oh, this is a really special, unique voice,
yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, I'm just, it's actually a very, it's like 6 minutes long, you know?
Right,
and
it's just, it's so intense.
Yeah.
So how are you going to organize the ensembles in the concert hall?
That's actually a challenge that I still have to figure out because we've got the kids from the Youth Symphony as well. And so I'm still playing with, but the good news is we always come up with creative solutions.
Yeah. Well, and I think a piece like that is so fascinating to see performed live because you just don't get the full scope of it when you listen to a recording.
Yeah,
you don't get the sounds from different directions.
That's exactly right.
So that's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because both Ives and Copland, they did exactly what Dvorak was urging American composers to do, which was to just look for inspiration in their own backyards.
That's exactly right.
And come up with this music. And that's why it's so interesting that you've got Copland and Ives on the same program, because Copland, you know, he does weave in some folk songs.
Oh, yeah.
Civil War era folk songs Lincoln Portrait.
Absolutely. And Lincoln Portrait, it was just, you know, it was a natural choice for a number of reasons. First of all, any chance I can get to work with Jim Naughton,
know,
two-time Tony Award winner, I am going to do it. And he's so lovely and so generous with his time. You know, he's worked with us on two occasions before as well. And what an inspiring individual. So, and I just, you know, right now, as much as any time, just hearing Lincoln's speeches, hearing his words, just to hear that kind of vision for what America represents right now, I just think is necessary and vital. And so, yeah, it's going to be thrilling. And again, all of this is side by side with the Norwalk Symphony and the Norwalk Youth Symphony. So there are going to be like 100 people on the stage while he's reciting this incredibly inspiring stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's going to be really exciting. But I also, you know, I think I really do want the audience to get a sense of what an entirely different vision it is for American music, because it's true. I think between Copland and Ives, you know, they represent very different sides of that coin. Copland definitely has had the more profound effect on American music afterwards. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of the dean American composition. And, you know, I think you could have a really robust discussion about if that was entirely a good thing or not. I find Copland a fascinating guy, but he definitely, it's a very specific, very tonal kind of conception of what American music should be. And when he, you know, you're talking about how he takes folk tunes. When he takes folk tunes, he's much more literal about it than Ives, you know. And so I've been thinking, we may, if we have time, not to jump ahead, but I have a singer coming in to sing Going Home.
Oh, wow.
Which is the spiritual that does not inspire Dvorak, but it actually comes out of the Dvorak, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
actually, he so captures the, he so captures the spirit of, you know, of American spiritual that his own tune from New World was adapted into a spiritual. But I've been considering, if we have time, asking that same singer to sing a version of an American song treated both by Copland and by Ives, specifically Shall We Gather at the River, because Copland's is so straightforward, you know, and kind of reverential.
Right.
And Ives is so wild.
Yeah, you know? He's got so many things going on underneath in the harmonies. And it really makes you hear it in a different way.
It's just so wild, you know. And so I love putting them on programs together and to give people a sense of, you know, the really different facets of American music.
Yeah, which is very, very cool. And then, you know, we've kind of touched on some aspects of the New World Symphony. And I think what was so interesting is that Dvorak was such a musical sponge while he was here. And he went to experience music that he could never have heard back in Bohemia, like Native American ceremonial music.
That's
and
exactly
put that
right.
in the scherzo.
Yeah,
and,
that's exactly
and
right.
And then spirituals. And so you can kind of hear him sowing the seeds for the next generation of American composers.
That's exactly right. And he that was specifically why he came to this country, you know, was to be the dean of composition at, I believe then it was the American Conservatory
mm-hmm.
or the
yeah.
New York Conservatory,
yeah.
maybe, but was the predecessor to Juilliard. And as you were saying, he specifically wanted to make American composers write American music, you know, to find their roots. And what's so the if there's any controversy about New World Symphony, it's whether the music is actually American or not. I mean, because there's no question it. You're right. He went out and he heard African-American music and he heard Native American music. I think the Native American music he was exposed to actually comes after the New World Symphony.
Mm.
He had heard some Iroquois musicians back in the Czech Republic.
Oh, wow.
Actually had visited as part of a festival. And he had started to hear African American music. But the New World Symphony is his first work that he writes in this country before the American Quartet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what he manages to do actually is find this sort of commonality between all folk music.
Right.
You know, like the pentatonic scales. And it's almost uncanny because and he talks about this, that he's like, you know, it's really the spirit of American music without being literal, you know, American quotations, because you hear it and you go, yeah, I can hear Native American influences. I can hear African American influences. And yet, unlike Lincoln Portrait, which has quotes of Camptown Races and things like that, and or Ives works that also have, you know, numerous quotations of folk song, there are no quotations in New World Symphony, but you hear it and you hear American music, or you hear the birth of American music. There's no question. And, you know, that's why I'm really thrilled we're bringing this beautiful soprano in. Helena Brown is going to sing Going Home, you know, because in each of these educational concerts, I chat with the audience
yeah.
as well, because for me, the whole point of a concert like this is, in a way, doing what you and I are doing,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
To start, you know, a discussion with the audience, to start them thinking about what, you know, what is American music about and what role does it have to play in our society. And so as part of that presentation, Helena is going to sing Going Home, which if anybody wants to listen to, I think the most gorgeous rendition is Paul Robeson.
Oh, yeah.
Singing. Oh, my God. I mean, that's just... it's ravishing. And you hear Paul Robeson singing and you're like, oh, my God, what an incredible American spiritual, except it's actually Dvorak.
Yeah.
Like, one of Dvorak's students said, wow, this would make a great spiritual. Mm-hmm. And he just took it, you know, note for note. And it enters the lexicon of, you know, American spiritual music. And it's funny that it's specifically about going home, because he was, you know, he was homesick
mm-hmm.
when he was here, and eventually, you know, leaves and goes back to the Czech Republic. But I love the work, and I love the fact that it manages to be American and yet not actually American, you know, and written by a Czech composer, and what that signifies again about both the birth of American music and, you know, what this country embodies. I love. And of course, it's a thrilling work.
Oh,
you
well,
know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just one of the most exciting pieces. Everybody will recognize the tunes. The beginning, you know, the fourth movement sounds like the beginning of Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Williams borrowed liberally from it. And so in addition to, you know, this sort of headier stuff we're talking about, it happens to also all be music that people will love.
Yeah. And tell me how it works with the performers from the youth orchestra embedded in
right.
the
orchestra. Right. So they literally sit side by side. And it's not every player that plays in every work. For the Lincoln Portrait, it will be literally nearly the entire youth symphony sitting next to individual players from the Norwalk Symphony. And you know, we love that for a number of reasons. You know, first of all, you just get the sheer enjoyment of seeing so many people on stage.
Yeah.
It's such fun. And you get this huge, beautiful, rich sound. And then, you know, just also the opportunity for Norwalk Symphony members to, you know, mentor their younger colleagues is just really rich, you know, really rich opportunity. And you know, they get something from the experience too, you know, that youthful passion of my youth symphony students. And so, yeah, that's why we make sure that it is literally, you know, the phrase is always side by side, but we do it literally side by side so that, you know, both organizations really gain from the experience.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Oh, Jonathan, just the whole concert start to finish sounds incredible. And thank you so much for coming in to talk a little bit about it. It sounds amazing.
Oh, thanks so much, kid. Always such a pleasure to come in and talk to you.